friendship and your association, but your faith and your love. And I bring with me to give to you the love and your salutations of all your brothers and sisters there in Independence. I was talking to Brother Dan Lawrence last night, real late, and he called about something else, but he said, "I'll see you in the morning." I said, "Oh, no, you won't. I'm going to be in Collins." "Well, then you give him my love." And so I give his love to you. It's great that we can all be, even though we're separated from the miles, it's great to be brothers and sisters in the family of God. It was my preparation for this morning was been somewhat confusing, and I had, well, it is my policy and my habit of remembering in sermons when it's my opportunity to remember the days that we are given to honor God as a nation. And it's a shame that some of those holidays have come to the place that they are right now, that it's almost forbidden to refer to them or refer to God in the celebration of these holidays. And I just, you know, this is what they call the holiday season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But they can't even mention God in their advertisements sometimes. We had a story here just this week about one of our local home stores that they call do-it-yourself, you know, Lowe's. They put out a catalog and they messed up big time. Twice they mentioned Christmas in that catalog. Twice. Shame on them. No, I'm thankful they did. Usually they referred to it as a holiday tree or a northern pine or something like that, but only twice could they say a Christmas tree. And I'm glad that we can come into the house of the Lord and mention His name and give Him praise and thanks, for that is what this day was all about. You know, Thanksgiving has had quite a history behind it. We think of it as, like Brother Allen mentioned in the Sunday program there, about the first Thanksgiving here in the Americas. But it seems as though that there is something in almost every ancient civilization that they have a time of, in some form or another, of Thanksgiving. Probably the first one was, that's recorded at least, was found in Leviticus. And the 7th chapter, and starting with the 11th verse. When Moses was given the law from God on Mount Sinai, this is one of the things was given. "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes, mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers, anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil and with fine flour. Beside the cakes, he shall offer his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of the thanksgiving of his peace offering. And he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an offering, for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is burnt offered. And he shall not leave anything until the morning," and so on. So, whether that was the very first time, even Adam, when he was cast out of the garden, built an altar and offered a sacrifice. And yet we know that when Christ came here in the 4th chapter of 3rd Nephi, he said, "I'll have no more of your burnt offerings and your sacrifices." Ninth verse of the 4th chapter, I believe it is. It's page 628, 49th verse on 3 Nephi, 4th chapter, and the 49th verse. Ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer up for sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whosoever cometh to me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, are baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption to the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whosoever repenteth and cometh to me as a little child, him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of God. So, we do not offer, as was directed there in Leviticus, to have a burnt offering, but I feel like we really did this morning as we assembled here in our Sunday school class and offered our little thoughts and poems and readings about our thanksgiving to God for this day, for our lives, for this great nation that we live in. And there was much said about this land that is ours and the blessing that it is to us. Indeed it is. But we know that it seems as though that there's the highest civilizations of that time was down in Central America. I just returned from Honduras, which is right in Central America, and it's not as blessed as we are. It's really pathetic, the existence of those people and the poverty that they're in. And I remembered, remember as we spoke about the blessings of our land and our government, our nation. Brother Ken Orr was with me, or I was with him rather, and he said, if anything happens to me down here, if you can prop me up on an airplane, you send me back to the States. I don't want to go to the hospital down here. And there's a good reason for that, because they're not much, and that they're to be feared, because if you wasn't sick when you went there, you probably would be sooner or later. And there is much to be thankful for. I do feel that the greatest blessings that are pronounced there in the Book of Mormon are upon our own nation. And but it's also written that where much is given, much is required of us. And so we have much to be cause to give thanks and praise to God for. The history of Thanksgiving in our own land has got quite a story behind it. Of course, we know about the first Thanksgiving here in Plymouth, England, New England rather, where the pilgrims met with the Indians and they celebrated not just one day, but 3 days. But you know, even, and I don't know who it is, but it seemed like to destroy the thought of Thanksgiving, and they distorted the purpose and the activities. Because according to the history that I read, at least, those pilgrims and the Indians met together for 3 days. They not only feasted, but they had sermons and songs of praise, and as well as the 3 days of feast. And so we cannot even have one day of feast here and really comment that we give thanks unto God. You know, we have a custom, and I hope it's more than a custom, but and more than a habit. It's the desires of our heart. That we sit down to a meal, we always bow our heads and return thanks. Some people call it grace. But you know, a couple of years ago, I believe it was now, I was down in Picayune, Mississippi. And our sister Williams down there, I don't know if I told you this story before or not, but she said, now we're going to, first night we was there, they said we're going to have dinner or lunch, supper, whatever you, supper or dinner, I guess they call it. Anyway, they're going to go to a restaurant, and some of our friends were going to meet with us. And so we did. We gathered at the restaurant, and it took a little while for us all to get together, and they sat down and us down to the table, and they was talking about, I'm not sure what it was all, whether football or hunting or something, quite a conversation, which I not up on any of those conversations and statistics, so I wasn't really following them too close. But when we all got there and they was getting ready to bring the food, why, Sister Peggy turned to me and kind of nodded, and I said, "Now, if we just be quiet for a minute, we'll return thanks for the food." And they just kept on chattering, you know, just chat. And I waited for a minute. I said, "Well, I guess that's as quiet as we're going to get." So I bowed my head and I offered thanks for the food and asked God to bless it for us. When I finished, the lady next to me, she turned to me and said, "You're supposed to do that in your closet." Well, I wasn't hurt by it. I was saddened by it. My Sister Peggy was just devastated that she would do that. But no, that's the attitude of the world, that we cannot give God the thanks and ask His blessings upon us. And the very early part of our nation, and as I think it was 1612 rather, and when the Pilgrims had their first the Thanksgiving here, and Washington in 1789 had a proclamation of giving thanks to God, and Lincoln carried that on in 1863. He appointed the last Thursday of November for a day of Thanksgiving, and President Roosevelt designated in 1939 to have it on the third Thursday, so there'd be more time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But 2 years later, 1941, Congress changed it back to the fourth Thursday of the month. And so it has been pushed around, but it has always been remembered in some fashion or another. But I fear that we have lost the real purpose of this. I would like to turn to Messiah in the ninth chapter. And the 49th verse, starting with the 49th verse and reading to 67 on page, I'm going to start. On page 48 on the bottom of page 259. This was a recording of Alma and the Waters of Mormon in 147 years before Christ. Now, the proclamation in Leviticus was in 14. I think I recorded that 1490 B.C. That long ago, when the proclamation was given by Moses for Thanksgiving. But in the days of Alma in 147 B.C. Yea, they were baptized in the waters of Mormon and were filled with the grace of God. And they were called the Church of God, or the Church of Christ, from that time forward. It came to pass that whosoever should be was baptized by the power and authority of God was added to his church. It shall come to pass that Alma, having authority from God, ordained priests to every one, even one for every 50 of their number. And he did ordain to preach unto them, to teach them, concerning the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he commanded them that they should teach nothing, save it be the things which he had taught, and which had been spoken by the mouth of the prophets. Yea, he commanded them that they should preach nothing, save it be repentance and faith on the Lord, who had redeemed his people. And he commanded them that they should be no more contention one with another, but that they should look forward with one eye, having a faith and one baptism, having their hearts knit together in unity and in love one towards another. And thus he commanded them to preach, and thus they become the children of God. And he commanded them that they should observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, and also every day that they should give thanks unto the Lord their God. He also commanded them that the priests whom he had ordained should labor there with their own hands for their own support. And there was one day in every week that was set apart that they should gather themselves together to teach the people and to worship the Lord their God, and also as often as it was in their power to assemble themselves together. And the priests were not to depend upon the people for their support, but for their labor they were to receive the grace of God, that they might wax strong in the spirit, having a knowledge of God, that they might teach with the power and authority of God. Again, Elmo commanded the people of the church should support, should impart of their substance, everyone to according to that which he had. And if he had more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And if he had but little should be required of him that had not should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance of their own free will and good desires toward God to those priests that stood in need and to every needy and naked soul. And he said to them, having been commanded of God, that they do walk uprightly before God, imparting to one another, both temporally and spiritually, according to their needs and their wants. As I read through that, I realized, you know, that is the structure of the Church of Christ and the way in which we function and operate. And it also told me that Thanksgiving is just not one day of the month, or one day of the year, rather, or a specific day, but it's a way of life. It's a way of life. That daily we should give thanks unto God for the many blessings of life. And truly we are a very blessed people. It's hard to, well, maybe it's not hard, but sometimes we forget the blessings that are ours until we realize that that has not always been, and there are places where that is not so. I was impressed quite a bit by some of the thoughts was expressed during the Sunday school program. You know, I too grew up in what we call the Depression time, when we had, and basically during some of my early remembrances during the war time from 40, 41, long in there to 45, when it was actually the close of the Depression. Depression started when I was only about 2 years old in 29. And of course, I didn't remember much about that. But during the wartime, when we was coming out of it, when things were not as plentiful as they are now, I think Brother Allen or somebody mentioned that they didn't have electricity. And there was a lot of places that didn't have electricity back in those days. So it's something kind of new in some places even yet. And that's one thing in Honduras. There's electricity there, but everybody doesn't have it. You walk into their little houses and at nighttime, and you just have to kind of feel your way around, and maybe there's a little candle or something like that there to give them a little light, but there's no electricity there. They can't afford it. It's there, but they can't afford it. And so, you know, even our poorest people here in our land are rich in their way of seeing things, but they don't begrudge us of it. They treat us with all kindness and love. It's a great pleasure and joy to meet them and know that they too are my brothers and sisters there in that land. And their roads are not, you know, something we complain about our potholes and our roads here. You haven't seen any potholes yet, because sometimes you wonder, is this really a road? Or is it just a place that's been washed out by the rain and the floods? But no, we have so many blessings to give thanks to God for, and we do need to do it daily, lest we forget. There was some of the scriptures that I had thought to read to you this morning that was already read by some of the others, and I appreciated that. You know, our minds was turned back to our forefathers and some of our very close friends and loved ones. I had reason to do some research here in some of my files, which are not too well filed, but I had to look up some information about my own father and mother that they wanted down in Jefferson City, and I had a little file about so thick that it's might labeled obituaries. And you know, as I read through those things looking for the one I wanted, and I got all caught up in reading them, I was choked up. Shed tears. Because of the the many that I have known in my life and the influence they had on me and the things that were written in their obituaries. We have a great heritage, and we need to hold on to it with all the might of our soul, to hold on to those things that have been given to us by our forebears. And we do not really realize the travail that they passed through many times to sustain not only their faith, but those things that are given to us, hope and faith in our day. You know, Thanksgiving is not just something that's going to take place in this lifetime. We turn to the book of Revelations. The 7th chapter, I believe it is. I've got to get into the Revelations, though, don't I? Starting with the 9th verse. This is a chapter where it speaks about those who were sealed, the 144,000. And then in the 9th verse it said, "And behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders of, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne, and their faces toward worship God." I probably read that very poorly. Let me go back and try it again, see if I can get the commas and emphasis where it's supposed to be. "And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came through the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away tears, all tears from their eyes." And so, at that time, if we're so privileged and blessed to be there, we will have great cause to rejoice and to praise God and to give Him thanks. And it's not just for a few years. It's forever. Forever. Without end. And that, too, is something that's hard for us to fathom and to put together. We might turn to the first chapter of Messiah, and this is the story of King Benjamin, a man who lived, says, about 124 years before Christ. He had been a king for quite some time, and he brought peace in his land during his day. He turned the people from war and contention to a time of peace. And as he was talking to them on let's see, where will I go? First chapter. He was talking to them about his service to them, and I think I'll start with 46 on page 211.
Even I myself have labored with mine own hands, that I might serve you, and that ye should not be laden with taxes, and that there should be nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And all these things have I spoken, ye yourselves are witnesses this day. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast, neither do I tell you these things whereby that I might accuse you, but I tell you these things that you might know that I can answer with a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you that because I said unto you that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, but have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow being, ye are also in service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had ye ought to labor to serve one another. And behold, also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet has been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, how had ye ought to thank your heavenly king? And I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all the thanks and praise which your whole soul hath power to possess to that God who hath created you, and has kept you and preserved you, and has caused that ye should rejoice, and had granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if ye should serve him with who has created you from the beginning, and are preserving you from day to day, by lending you the breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. For behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he has promised that you that if you would keep his commandments, that ye should prosper in the land. And he never does vary from that which he has said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. Now, in the first place, he hath created you and granted you your lives, for which ye are indeed indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that you should do as he commanded you, for which if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and thereby he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted to him, and are still, and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, what have ye to boast? And now I ask you, can you say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. We cannot boast of ourselves, because God has given to us the breath of life. He's given to us his word, and he's caused that it should burn within us, should bring us joy and happiness. And how had we ought to give him thanks and praise? Well, we do not, at least I feel like I have led a very protected life. Though I have worked in the world, in fact, my occupation carried me, placed me around men who are probably as worldly as any of them could be. I know after I was moved to another department, one day I was talking with one of the other fellows, and he said that he'd been working with some linemen, and he said, those guys are animals. I said, well, that, remember, that's where I came from. I said, yeah, but you came from there. You didn't stay there. And it was. They was about as coarse and as full of iniquity as could be. And yet, there were times when they had a heart as big as all outdoors. A real heart. I remember just a little story that about one of them. And he was about as coarse as anybody could be. But one day he was driving down the road, and a handicapped boy, I don't remember how old he was, but he was young, 3, 4, 5 years old probably, was on a little tricycle, and he rolled out of his yard right out in front of him, and he hit him in his car and killed him. And he was devastated, just devastated that it happened. But he couldn't have done anything to prevent it, because it was just instantly. And of course, his insurance company paid the family for the death and things like this.
But what made him so sad and just tore his heart open was they thanked him, because now they didn't have to care for that little boy anymore. He was taken home to God. So even the crudest and the cruelest men sometimes have a heart that we do not see. And we have great reason to rejoice, because of God has placed us where we are, and we are protected many times from the things of the world. Yes, I worked with them, but I didn't associate with them after hours, other than whatever the company might have offered us to get together from time to time. But even then, it was very seldom that I attended some of their gatherings. But yet, I found within them a heart of love and concern for their mankind. And I'm glad that I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm glad that God is going to do that. You know, there is, I don't know if I'm going to use up all my time or not. There's more benefits to giving thanks than to just the joy that's given to us in being a service to God. I have here a little article that I read in the guidepost. A man by the name of Stephen Post. He's professor of bioethics at Case Western University in Cleveland, Ohio. That's where my granddaughter went to school. And he founded a research organization that researched into testing and measuring the effects of love and other practice carrying emotions in human life. And he said, our findings surprise me, as I think they will you. A study has shown that love-related qualities like gratitude actually make us physically healthier. You probably heard, as I have, that those who pray will quite often, most often, recover more quickly than those who have no faith and do not pray. But he found that there was five things that being thankful, just being thankful to God for, that take place in our lives. He listed them as defends, sharpness, calms, strengthens, and heals. Defends, just 15 minutes a day focused on things you're grateful for will significantly increase your body's natural antibodies. And I don't know too much about antibodies, but I understand those are the little things in our life, our bodies, that cause us to heal. Sharpness. Naturally grateful people are more focused mentally and measurably less vulnerable to clinical depression. And yet, we live in a day when depression is getting awful common. And just to give God the thanks and praise will help us overcome that. Calms. A grateful state of mind induces a psychological state called resonance that's associated with healthier blood pressure and heart rate. Again, it will help us to regulate our blood pressure and our heart rate. Better health. Strengthens. Caring for others is draining, but grateful caregivers are healthier and more capable than less grateful ones. We have sometimes a burden or responsibility to care for a loved one, or even some of us work in places where that's their job, the responsibility to care for those who are declining in health. And those caregivers are more capable and healthier than those who do not.
heals. Recipients of donated organs who have the most grateful attitudes heal faster. And today we're living in a day when this is becoming more common, that we all ask to put on our driver's license, or if we want to donate our organs. And last time I got my driver's license renewed, they asked me if I wanted to donate any organs. I said, well, if you can find anything that's good, keep it, you know. But it is taking place quite frequently anymore. I know probably you read on the email here just a while back that Brother David Larson there in Grand Junction was rushed to Denver for a kidney transplant that they had told him they had one that they thought would work, and they rushed him clear into Denver, which is about close to 300 miles from Grand Junction, and got him all set up, even had him in the hospital and gave him some of the preparation shots, and they realized that the kidney wasn't any good. It had been damaged in, he'd taken an overdose or something, I believe it was, and so that it had damaged the kidneys in trying to fight off this poison that he'd taken into his system. And so he went back home, and he thanked God because it had prepared him for the real time. He found a place to park his RV when because he was going to be there for several weeks, and he had pulled that across the mountains into Denver. And he had it all set up in with the owner of the campground. He said, it's in the middle of the night, just pull in and drop it. He said, I'll take care of it in the morning. He learned the ropes and made preparations when the real time came. And he was grateful that the doctors recognized that the kidney would probably not survive, and they didn't have to go through the surgery. So he found reason to give God the thanks, even though that was not the time for him to receive it. And he is, well, he's in great need of a transplant, or even better, a healing from the hand of the Lord. You know, when we enjoy health, it's just hard to realize what some of our brothers and sisters and friends and associates go through, some of the afflictions that are troubling them. And so we have great need to praise God and to give Him thanks. As King Benjamin said, God provides for us from day to day. He gives us our breath, and He gives us the things we need. And what can we say, we did it ourselves? No, we can't. He done it for us. And even if we keep His commandments and serve Him with all our heart, we're blessed already with the joy and the peace of mind. We're not troubled because of the things we may have said or done that would be damaging and destructive to our soul's welfare. And so we cannot pay Him back for what He does for us, but we can only give Him praise and thanks. And we will, even into eternity, we will always praise God and give Him thanks for these things. And so it's well, I think, that we remember that this day, not only today, but tomorrow, and the more tomorrows after that, to remember to whom we owe our thanks and our very being, that we remember how it is that we're brought into this land, that we remember the travails of those who went before us, and yet, though we remember, I remember my father and my mother and the things they did for me, but yet the praise goes to God, for they did it in service to Him. And so I should also do the things that I do to the praise and the glory of my God in heaven. For I know, as the saying says, I know in whom I am believed, for He will keep me. And I pray that indeed that you will keep remembering the God who gave us life and the blessings He has given us, and then enjoy the benefits of it. Enjoy the benefits of it. You know, I've worked with some men who was, well, it seemed like they was always negative and arguing and fussing and fighting about things. And they was miserable. They really was miserable. And I found that I could have peace of mind and heart. I found that I could enjoy life, whatever it brought, whether it be pain or joy, by giving God the thanks. And I thank Him for the gospel that He's given to us. I thank Him for this day in life, and I thank Him for you. I thank Him for you, for being here in this place, and for letting me come and be with you. God bless you.